Have you ever thought about how incredibly complex our spit is? It may only be 99% water, but your saliva isn't simple. That remaining 1% holds incredibly meaningful information that could change everything. And I'm not just talking about your family tree. Hi, I'm Baratunde Thurston, and on this season of Spit, an iHeartRadio podcast with 23andMe, we explore how DNA isn't just about ancestry. It can also be key to understanding your health. Hey, you, welcome back. For today's show, we've got all the 90s nostalgia you can handle. We're going back to the days of TGIF and hanging with the cast of the iconic sitcom, Boy Meets World. Danielle Fishel, Ryder Strong, Will Friedle, or as you might remember them, Topanga, Sean, and Eric, are the hosts of Pod Meets World, a podcast dedicated to revisiting the show one episode at a time. But today, the gang has taken a break from their rewatch to talk about their experience with 23andMe and what they learned from their health and ancestry reports. Danielle, Ryder, and Will are all blown away by the amount of information contained in their reports. And each one of them is walking away with steps to better themselves. It's almost like an episode of their old show. For Ryder, his DNA showed a likelihood of increased anxiety, something he's dealt with for some time. Seeing it actually show up in his report has inspired him to exercise more, a proven way to lower stress. For Danielle, it was learning she was at risk for type 2 diabetes. Having that information top of mind will make her think twice next time she's going for her beloved candy or her next fast food fix. And for Will, well, information about his ancestry has inspired him to ask his parents some more questions. Just like Topanga, Sean, and Eric, Danielle, Ryder, and Will are looking to learn from their experiences, better themselves, and grow as adults. Let's listen in and hear how 23andMe is helping them make that happen.
Welcome to a special episode of Pod Meets World. This episode is brought to you by 23andMe, which you guys have heard us now over almost an entire season of Boy Meets World talking a lot about our background actors and how important they were to the feel of the show, to our set environment, how we were friends with a lot of them. I'm going to start right off by saying, spoiler alert, there is no Dusty in this episode. I'm really bummed about it. We have been on a worldwide search for Dusty Gould.
And no Simi Valley either.
Yeah, and we haven't heard from Simi. By the way, that came up. You called her Simi to her face, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she knew her name was Simi.
People thought that it was like a behind her back sort of thing. Oh my gosh, yeah, no, I mean, I think there was something a little mean about it at first, but then it just became, that's the problem. We don't remember her name because we always called her Simi and she responded to it. Like, that's what we did. Right. It was just because it was the first week of the first season that we asked her where she was from and she said Simi Valley. And so we were just like, oh my gosh, you're a Valley girl. We'll call you Simi. But yeah, I would love to talk to her.
And Dusty.
We're still on a hunt, so you never know. But we are going to talk to a few of our other background actors today because it is very important for us and everyone to know your background. Speaking of which, I am coming to you today so sleep deprived. And I guess it's really come to my attention through my 23andMe results that I am less likely to be a deep sleeper.
Me
which,
too.
Are you?
Isn't that what it said?
Yes.
I think we're
crazy that it can say this from your genes. Like,
isn't it cool? By the way, another thing that I think is amazing is that it tells me I am more likely to be photosensitive, which means I might sneeze when looking at the sun. And when I I have never once walked into the sun and not sneezed.
Yeah. Really? Me neither. I'm the exact same way, but I didn't see that. Where did it say that?
It's in there too.
It's in one of your
There's so much to read. I haven't explored all the ins and outs of 23andMe.
And that's the really cool thing is that there are so many different reports, and some of them are just really fun, like finding out you're more likely to be photosensitive. I'm also more likely to drink more caffeine than most, and that checks right off. Ryder, you probably have that too.
I'm less likely to drink caffeine than most, and I drink no caffeine. I have no caffeine in my life whatsoever, and it says I'm less like, and I am not likely to be an especially deep sleeper. Yeah. I still don't get you. We were talking about delta waves or something. Now, as I heard what you're explaining to me, Danielle, I'm a superhero. did you explain it wrong?
That's what your DNA came out. It said superhuman. You have midichlorians or whatever it is. You're a Jedi.
Yes. First of all, let's not crap
in
on
your
the
genes.
Jedi.
That's
it's in my genes, though, that apparently due to my sleep patterns, I
No, that's
am
because of the underwear. That's because of the underwear.
Right. That too. The underwear just makes me lucky. 23andMe is telling me I'm a wizard.
Okay, hold on. Let's talk about ancestry just really quick. Did you guys learn anything new or different than you expected?
Oh, yeah? I totally did.
So what was the story that your family told you and the reality of your ancestry?
Well, no, it's not that my family told me something that was just heard that we were Dutch and Irish and German primarily. Right. That's what I knew. And it came out that I am almost 20% Jewish.
Nice.
Wow.
I am 19% Ashkenazi Jewish.
Wow. And you didn't know that at all?
No idea whatsoever. And of course, then when I said that to my parents, my dad was like, well, of course, my great-grandfather was Jew or something, where we were like,
well, why didn't anybody ever talk about this?
That. Yeah. No, you know, so that was completely, I am 98.8% European, and it's mostly Northwestern European. So British and Irish, what we thought. Lots of Irish, lots of British. But 18.7% Ashkenazi Jewish. So no idea. No idea whatsoever. I was shocked.
Ryder, did you learn anything in yours about specifically about health? Anything you're more likely to have or not have?
Oh, yeah. It nailed me in three categories. It said I am most likely to have restless leg syndrome, which I've had all of my life and just had to deal with. More likely for increased anxiety, check, and severe acne, which you guys can remember from when I was on Boy Meets World. I had severe acne. Yeah. And so did my dad. I remember when I started breaking out during Boy Meets World, because I got it a little bit later. I got it more like at 14, 15, when I had the really bad acne. So we haven't gotten to it on the show, but we'll start to be able to see the amount of makeup they had to cake on my face. Oh, it was the worst. It was the worst.
And so,
knowing
this then about your DNA makeup, now that, like, is there something now you're going to change about your life? Will you talk to your doctor about restless leg syndrome? Is there anything, or do you take anything for anxiety? Will you start?
Yeah, well, no, the anxiety thing is really interesting because I never really thought of myself as an anxious person. Especially when I was a kid, I was not an anxious kid. But I have noticed lately that, like, I need to exercise.
Important for anxiety. Hugely important.
And what I realized is, like, if I don't, like, the way I manage anxiety, and I put that in air quotes, would be to, like, drink alcohol. And that's the worst thing you can do to manage anxiety. Yeah. You know, and especially like during the pandemic, there was these periods where, like, there would be, you know, you're not working, you're not taking your kids to school, everybody's sitting at home. It would be like, well, why is the day over? Why is it, you know, how do we know the day's over? We have a glass of wine. And that, you know, and we just got into the habit of like, oh, that's just, it's 5 o'clock, time to drink. So I definitely think that, like, being able to recognize that there's a genetic component to, like, the feelings I have of anxiety and that it might just be part of my body makes me remember to just move my body, to deal with it in terms of my body, as opposed to thinking like, oh, there's something wrong. I need to, like, change, you know, the way I think. Or no, it's just part of my body is that I get these feelings that other people might not have, you know, that I don't need to associate it with, like, necessarily things I've done wrong, or, you know, it allows me to contextualize my anxiety and recognize it as, like, a mostly physical thing, like something that is, like, I'm born with and that I just have to contend with. And it's, you know, I just have to find healthy ways to contend with it.
Well, I mean, you know, that so, yeah. I, I'm anxiety boy, and I was hit with it very bad during Boy Meets World, like very bad during Boy Meets World. And you'll see during the episodes, you know, the seasons where I come back and I'm really heavy, and it's because I was medicated to even record. And the things I always tell people now that I've been dealing with it for so long is the three most important things for me that help more than anything are talking about it, diet and exercise, and getting off of social media. And the first two, people are like, I can easily do that. And then it's like, well, I'm not going to get off of social media. I need it for work. Well, what do you do? I work at a bank. Okay, you don't need your social media. You're just addicted to it. But it's it's those three things where moving your body, exactly what you're saying, is just so, so unbelievably important. And it is. It's all genetic. I mean, I found out other people in my family down the line, they might not have called it that at the time. They might have said, you know, in the 50s, they had spells or whatever, because they didn't know how to how to diagnose it. But that's all that it was it is. It's genetic anxiety. And but that's one of the things about the 23andMe that was so amazing is those little markers. For instance, the it says when I looked at the thing, your average wake up time, judging by your genetics, is 7:48 a.m. And that's like almost exactly every morning when I roll out of bed.
Whoa, I didn't literally see that.
Literally almost exactly every morning, Susan gets up before me because she's got early clients. I doze in bed, and by about 7:40 to 7:50, I'm up and out.
Wow.
And when so when this thing comes out and it says it's 7:48 a.m., I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. How is that even possible? So, yeah, some of these things are some of them. I got to say, it says that I'm not predisposed to being afraid of heights, and I'm hugely afraid of heights.
Mm.
but that could also be the anxiety part. But there are certain things that this, you know, the muscle. Here's the other thing where it made me feel like, yes, I am, in fact, magic. Is it says my muscle composition is common in elite power athletes.
Same with mine.
Superman. Thank you.
I'm a stallion. Awesome. Yeah.
Me too.
I'm also, though, this is not such a positive thing. I am also more likely to develop type 2 diabetes.
Oh.
And as you guys know, I love my sweets. I love my fast food. And so the good news is I have generally my upbringing was that of like very healthy eating and exercising. So I really try to enjoy those things like sweets and fast food in some sort of moderation. But it is really good for me to know that as I age, because it's, I think it literally says like from the time you're 41, which is my exact age, up until the time I'm 80, I am like 54% likely. So like really it's a worse than a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
Wow. And so it's good for me to know those things because that's something I can stay on top of with my doctor now. Like, let me get regular screenings. Let me stay on top of that. Let me make sure I'm watching my diet and that I'm exercising, because maintaining a healthy weight is one way to help prevent that from happening. So, I mean, I'm actually really excited that I know that, because now
because the last time Ryder and I were at your house for a party, there was literally, and I'm using that word correctly, a board that had donuts hanging all off of it. And the second you'd grab a donut, it would reappear as if by magic. So
I do love donuts.
You are a donut fan.
That's just called Sundays and around here.
Diner food. But you're a big diner food fan too, aren't you?
At least it's Sundays and not every day.
Yeah, it's just Sundays. Yeah, no, I do. I love salty. I love sweet. I love fried. I just like that kind of food. So
do you prefer salty or sweet? That was the other thing the app told me is that I prefer salty over sweet, which is absolutely correct.
Mm.
So it does hit. And it told me this is where the history kind of buff in me loves. It told me that I have 55% that I have more Neanderthal DNA than most of the other people.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. Nice. Yes.
We're elite power athlete Neanderthals.
Magical beings
who
that
aren't
don't
deep
need
sleeping.
Very sleep. Yes. This is the coolest app in the world. I'm waiting for my laser vision, which will come. But yeah, this I was amazed by how detailed it gets.
I do want to show you guys my ancestry makeup because look at how almost exactly 50% of one thing I am.
Wow. You really are.
Yeah, that is my my Maltese side. That is my Southern European side.
That's
me
right there.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Yeah, that's me right there. So I'm kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I am 49.5% Southern European and 50.5% Northwestern European.
That's what I'm 62.8% Northwestern European.
Wow.
which is interesting. But I'm also, it's like 8% Italian. I had no idea there was Italian anywhere in my family line. Like, no idea whatsoever that we're partially Italian. So it's really, really cool kind of getting these breakdowns. But the other things where it's just talking about, like, whether you're lactose intolerant or not, your wake-up time, you know, whether you like cilantro, like, all those kind of things, the breakdown is really neat.
I know. It is really fun. Well, continuing to get to know our background, let us bring in our very first background guest.
This is so cool.
So let's give you a little background about background actors. The background actor definition is someone who performs in a non-speaking role, usually in the background of a scene. They help make movies, TV shows, and other productions look and feel more authentic. And so hospitals, concerts, city streets would be completely empty if not for hiring background actors.
School cafeterias.
Yeah, hallways. School cafeterias, yeah. Hallway classrooms. So let us welcome our first background actor, Jeannie Torres.
Yay! Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello.
So cool. It's so good to see your faces again.
I know. This is so fun. How did you become a background actor? And how old were you?
I think I was 18. And it was my first year of community college. And I was still trying to figure out what to do. I was creative. I kind of liked filmmaking, editing, things like that. Maybe I wanted to be an actor, but I felt a little shy to be on stage. So I remember talking to my dad and he had said, hey, why don't you sign up to be a background actor? You know, they can be on set. You can see everything that they do. And I thought, okay, that's a good idea. So I went down to the casting agency, you know, paid the little fee that you pay, take your picture, get all your information, sign up. And that's how I started. And so I don't know if you guys want me to tell you about how that whole process goes.
Yes, please.
Already know about it. Okay. So the way they did it, at least back in the 90s, was that you called a hotline and you listened for something that maybe you fit. So for me, and I swear it's like the only time we're looking young, like really paid off. I'd always look for 18 to look younger shows, which of course, Boy Meets World was one of those shows. Right. And so you listen to a recording. If you felt like you fit that, you know, that type or those specs that they're looking for, you called the number and then you gave them your social security number.
Oh my gosh.
That's your mother's credit card, your bank codes.
Everything. Yeah. Apparently, like, it was no big deal back then. So you gave them your social security number. That's actually how they had you filed. And they looked you up and they thought, yeah, you fit good. You're working tomorrow. Here's your call time. Bring, you know, three sets of clothes. There, that's where you're going. And that's it. And then just grab my stuff, hop in the car next morning and I'm on my way.
That's amazing. I'm sorry. I'm looking at a great picture of the two of us together right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I am. I'm looking at an awesome picture of the two of us right now. It's on set. That's so cool.
That is cool.
Were you living? What was the commute like then from where you were living to where we were shooting?
So I would never do this commute nowadays, but I was in South Orange County. I was down in Mission Viejo. Wow.
Jeez. Okay.
And I remember call times being about 7:30 for us.
In the morning.
And I would leave my house at 6 and that was fine. Ooh. Like I could get to the KTLA studios by 6:55.
Wow.
And that was okay back then. It is not okay.
Yeah, no.
You can't do that now.
Were you a Mission Viejo? Were you a Diablo?
I wasn't. I was a Cougar.
Oh, okay. My wife was a Diablo. I won't tell
her.
Oh,
really? rivals.
Exactly. Oh, that's so funny.
So what other shows were you a background actor on?
I got booked on 90210. Let's see. Party of Five. Step by Step.
Ooh, with Christine Lakin.
Yes, there was a few. Those, I don't know why, those seem to like stick out. A few movies. Babylon 5, that was really random.
That's cool.
But cool, that was one of the coolest because you actually got, as an extra, you still got to have makeup done. Yeah. And I got to look like an alien. And it was so not me, but it was great. It was so much fun.
That's fun. So, okay, so you were on season 3 and 4 of Boy Meets World. Walk people through then what would happen. So your call time 7:30 a.m. What happens when you arrive to set? What's the process like?
So you arrived to set, and then the AD would pass out scripts to everyone, and you'd actually go through, we'd probably spend like a good hour maybe, and we'd go through the entire script, and she would say something like, okay, Jeannie, on this line, on writer's line, you're going to go from the top of the stairs to locker two, you know, and have a conversation with somebody. And then, you know, on, let's say Danielle, on your line, I was to exit and leave, you know, walk off set or whatever. Yeah. So everyone had, you know,
they're just blocking.
Different blocking, yeah. Different crossings. I think it's amazing. I don't know who put it together because it seems like that would take a long time to figure out at least 20 extras and where they were going and how they're not going to cross in front of you. And it just, it's like,
I know.
I mean,
it's such an art.
It's a dance. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And so this would have been Dee Dee, right? Dee Dee DeStefano would have been.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Dee Dee. All right. So Dee Dee. Yeah. So she was our second stage manager. And so she would have been in charge of. So, yeah, I wonder if Dee Dee mapped out all of those moves. I mean, it must have.
We have to have Dee Dee on.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
We should.
Yeah. Right. And she was so good at it. Like she was.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's just on everybody.
And she's so friendly. That was one of the things that I'm sure was like a really, you know, I'm sure. And I don't want to put words in your mouth. Was every AD you worked with on sets like wonderful and fun to be around? Or were there some that were better than others?
She was the best. I will say she was the best.
I can see that. And I maybe, can totally see
you know,
that.
Maybe because I got the opportunity to come back and do more shows. But she was amazing. Mike was great too.
Yeah.
I think everyone sometimes is in work mode. And as you guys know, you're pressed for time. You got to get lines done. You know, you just got to really nail it. And I think maybe some were just like, whatever, do this, that. But with her, she was, I don't know, she was on it. She was on it, but still so like awesome and sweet.
I have a question just because I'm curious. What behind you on your shelf back there, does that say Transformers or am I wrong?
You are correct.
Thank you. And is it G.I. Joe? Is it G.I. Joe next to that?
That is G.I. Joe.
We are absolutely friends. Which Transformers is it? Can I ask from here? It's not Robots in Disguise, is it?
No. Well, the game is Information Protocol. It's,
okay.
I can't tell from here. I'm sorry.
I think it's Bumblebee on the, on the cover there. Sorry.
That's actually my career job. So that's.
Is what?
I'm a creative director. For a board game company called Renegade Game Studios. And
awesome.
I am in charge of the Hasbro line.
Yes, I worked for Hasbro for years. So
that's
I
so
was,
cool.
That's, I'm sorry. I know my Transformer. I know my nerd.
You
so I
yeah,
know my,
you tra- caught it. Sorry.
My G.I. Joe, my Transformers in the background. I'm going to call that out every time. I love that.
Amazing.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So I want to know, background actors are not allowed to talk, but you have to make it look like you're talking.
Oh,
did you have any tricks to making it look like you were talking but staying totally silent?
No, there were no tricks. There were no tricks. But I will say that becoming a regular, right, on the show and working with other regular extras, there were times it was almost like we were trying to make each other laugh without really blowing it, right? So you're going to have conversations saying ridiculous things to each other at the lockers, saying things that just maybe are inappropriate.
You're reading lips. Yeah, you're saying things that
so
aren't
if we could go
voice.
Back through the episodes and read your lips, sometimes you might be saying some
inappropriate
truly,
stuff.
Something inappropriate.
Stuff. Oh my God, I love it.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, did you become friends with all the other extras? I mean, did you hang out offset because you were all kind of regulars there?
We did sometimes, yeah. I went out a lot with Wendy Smith. And then there's a few of them that I've become Facebook friends with. And we just keep in touch. And we talk about the old days of Boy Meets World and certain episodes. And
then episodes stick out in your head that you did?
Yes. And it's actually one with you, Will. It's with the guitarist.
Leisha Haley.
Yes. Yeah. Shallow Boy. That's
Shallow
what it was.
Boy. Yep.
Shallow Boy.
That was a fun episode.
That was a fun episode.
She was amazing. I really hope we get to have her on the show because she was absolutely incredible. That was a fun episode to do. Were you in the chubby scene where she was singing?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can see me. I'm holding a French fry and I just go right into disgust. Yeah, she starts singing and I throw the French fry down and I get up and walk away out of Chubby's.
Ooh, that's a fun action.
Oh, I can't wait to go back and watch that.
Oh, you'll laugh.
That's cool. That's totally cool.
I think the most pressing question we have, were we nice?
Yes. but professional, right?
Yeah.
So I think as an extra, you feel like it's like a privilege to be on set, and you don't want to mess that up. So, you know, I would see you guys, and I have no idea if you remember this face or not, but, I don't know. I would just like smile, but I don't think I ever tried to strike up conversations unless it was like the last show of the season. And I felt like, okay, it's cool. Everyone's just happy and excited and celebrating and things like that. But, I think you guys probably all were approachable. I didn't want to do anything to have me not back on the set.
Well, it's because I think about it now, like I just wrapped a movie I was directing, and it's sets are fun environments, or they can be fun environments, and actors like to talk and kids like to talk. And yet, if you think about what it would be like to have 12 kids in a classroom set where also work needs to get done, if they were allowed to just talk and joke and laugh, it would be completely out of control.
Chaos.
So it's a little bit of like, you talk as much as you can before somebody says, all right, keep it down. You know, no personal conversations. We need to get work done. And so it was always like a tough balance between wanting to be like, so what's your name and where are you from and what do you like to do, without actually then being in trouble because there's no time for that.
Right.
Yeah. I actually don't remember you guys having much conversation right before your lines.
Yeah.
I think you just all seemed very focused, especially you, writer. You were like, it just seemed like you were so on it. And I was like, wow, man, that kid is good.
Thanks.
He was.
Yeah.
So do you tell anybody now about your history as a background actor?
Yeah, I do sometimes. Yeah, it's been like 20, for a lot of years.
Yeah. So let's just say 20 a lot.
Yeah, 20 a lot. if I have made new friends, like, you know, my kids, you know, you start making new friends with your kids, you know, their friends and parents and things like that. And then let's say I have a few drinks and we're watching TV or whatever, flipping through, and Disney Plus is there. I'm like, oh, hey, you should put on Boy Meets World for a second, you know? So like, why? Oh my God, I'll show you something, you know, and I'll find an episode. And I'm like,
that's so fun.
Like, what? You're on TV? It's kind of a fun conversation.
And do you know how many episodes you're actually in that you can see yourself in? Have you added it up?
I haven't. It's maybe close to 15.
Wow.
I think.
But it was over the course of two seasons? Or?
Yeah. I mean, obviously there were some shows where you didn't have the school scenes.
Right.
Is there was a lot of shooting, and some days it was just a one day call and one scene, and that was it.
Was Dusty there with you while you were there?
Dusty
Gould, red hair, one of the background actors.
He was one of the background actors. Yeah, he was in the classroom with us.
He was in the classroom, probably. And I realized that most of the kids in the classroom were minors.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
They wanted to keep them young in the classroom. So I think they kind of had us separated because, you know, they had to go do school and we're just on a sitting in our chairs in an empty stage waiting
for your turn.
So much downtime on a set.
Yeah.
Jeannie, thank you for sending us these amazing pictures of us. I have this great picture. We will post them on our social media so that you guys get to see exactly who she is. And then you can spot her when we get to her episodes in seasons 3 and 4. It was really great to catch up with you, Jeannie. I totally remember your face. You haven't changed at all.
Oh,
you
haven't. Thank you.
You haven't. It's weird.
Thank you, guys. You're all the same to me, too. It's funny. It's awesome. Well,
it's really nice to reconnect with you. Thank you for all of the...
Thanks for coming on our show.
Yeah, thanks for coming on our show. And thank you for all the work you did for us all those 20 plus years ago.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I love it. Yeah. I love your podcast. Been listening. I think it's really cool. Aww. I love everyone's, you know, perspective and you know, what you went through. I think it's really neat because I was just a small part of it. And it really, I don't know. You know, you always try and guess and think how everyone else is thinking or what it is, their challenges, or maybe they don't have challenges and only I have challenges, but it was really great. It was really great.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Jeannie. Thanks, it's great Jeannie. To see you.
All right. Bye, guys.
Our next guest was a background actor on Boy Meets World in seasons 2 through 4. And then he came back in season 6 just to watch a taping and was invited back to be an extra in that episode.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So cool. So let's please welcome, Justin, if I'm saying your name wrong, Justin Armeo.
That's absolutely perfect.
Woo-hoo! Yes.
All right. Justin, welcome.
Oh my God, this is insane.
I want to say right off the bat, I absolutely 100% remember Justin.
Dude, no way. That's awesome.
I absolutely do. The second I saw your picture, I was like, oh yeah, I absolutely know. Yeah, I knew exactly who you were right away. You did a whole bunch of episodes and I completely remember you. Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Will.
Of course.
Yeah, I think I did like 50 maybe.
Yeah. You did a whole 50. Lot of episodes. You were one of the regulars there for most of the time. So yeah, completely remember Justin.
Wait, so you did maybe 50 episodes just within seasons 2, 3, and 4?
So I just watched, so the first episode I did was season 2, episode 8, Band on the Run. And then I did the rest of that season, did season 3, season 4. And then I missed the show so much. Like I went to an audience taping of it when you moved to Radford. I watched the show. Then I snuck over to the bathroom, which was in a soundstage next door. I hid in the bathroom for a half an hour. Waited for the audience to leave and everybody get escorted out. Then I walked back onto the soundstage and I saw Steve and Dee Dee and they saw me and they jumped up and they said, "Oh my God, Justin, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Oh, I came to see the show." And they said, "You have to come back and do an episode." And I said, that would be awesome.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So Steve Hafer and Dee Dee DeStefano, we talked about them a little bit, our stage managers.
Steve's having a baby.
I'm sure you remember that, Justin.
Yes. You guys had so many, I don't really remember the catchphrase, but you guys had so many in jokes and catchphrases and you guys are always having such an awesome time.
It's so funny. One of the pictures that we have of you, Justin, you are in the scene with Leisha Haley, which is exactly the same scene we were just talking about with Jeannie. There's another background actor we have from that set. That Leisha Haley episode, Shallow Boy, was really special.
Oh, Shallow Boy. I remember that. I still had my script somewhere in the garage.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I think it's because everybody has to react to her playing the song. I think that was why it was like in Chubby's. She does a whole. It's like the whole point of the scene is that she's making a scene, right? And everybody has to sort of react to it, as opposed to other scenes where we're just like talking in the foreground and everybody's just kind of living normal life in the background.
That's the Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at the picture right now. You're giving such a great like over the shoulder look at Leisha Haley. This kind of with your eyebrow raised, you've got the Boy Meets World eyebrow raised, and you are sitting there looking at her like she's off her nut. It's great. It's absolutely phenomenal. Second I saw that picture, I was like, oh yeah, I know Justin. I know exactly who Justin is.
They kept coming back to me over and over and said, bigger, bigger, bigger.
Give us more.
So, but that's how I totally learned on that set that you have to go pretty big for people to notice things sometimes.
It's true. It's so absolutely true.
You would have been, especially in that episode, what would have been characterized as a featured extra, right?
Yeah. I mean, you don't get any extra money. It's just a good, you're seen really well and you do a little bit, which is really cool. And the longer I was there, the more they threw me cool bits to do. I think there's one time you hit a ball off the pool table and it like hits me in the foot. And then one time I played, they came in, I think, Train of Consequences, where you're on the train, the New Year's Eve party.
Yes, New Year's Eve.
Yeah. And I played the pizza guy and Ryder comes up to me and he's like, "Does anybody know anything about deliveries?" And then he like rushes me out the door and then comes back and says, good thing is he's going to deliver Mrs. Gianelli's babies and they'll be here in under 30 minutes or whatever is the joke.
That's right. I forgot about that. That's so funny.
And so that's why you're in the pizza hat, right?
Yeah, you're in the pizza hat. But because we were around the same age, you weren't really in the classroom, right? You and I were always kind of in the same scenes together.
Yeah. So I was too old to be one of the classroom regular kids and they wanted to have, kids that were over 18 to be, the hallway kids, Chubbies and whatever else like that. So, yeah, I'm 52 now. I'm still a bit older than you, but I was, close. How old are you now?
I'm 46. So, we're pretty close in age.
Yeah. So we're decently close.
Did you have to eat in all those Chubby scenes?
I think I ate a few times in a Chubby scene. Mostly I was standing up or, pretending to be breaking up with a girlfriend in the background or something crazy, you know.
So much fun. Do you have any particular episode or scene that you remember the most?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I really like the Train of Consequence episode. That was really funny. And I remember Charisma Carpenter was in that episode.
Yeah.
But didn't know who that was. I think we were sitting in the back of Train, me, Will, and Charisma, and I had no idea who she was. And it was really fun. It was just, it was different because it was a different set. So there's a really good memory there. And the one with the monkeys was really cool because I grew up watching, I mean, I was a little too young to watch the monkeys originally, but you know, when I was a kid, there's only like three channels. So I had to watch the monkeys.
Oh, you meant the monkeys, the band. I instantly went to the episode where Eric has monkeys. Oh. So yeah, no. Okay.
There is an episode where Eric has monkeys.
He's got the same monkey that Ross has on Friends. That same Marcel monkey was on our show.
Wow. I have no recollection of that.
Yeah. So that's where my head went. I was like, oh, you're in the episode where I'm with the monkey. Can you tell us a little bit about how you started in the business?
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely was obsessed with movies as a kid, and I used to cut out newspaper ads and pasted my wall with moves because I couldn't afford posters. So I had movie ads from the Sunday calendar all over my wall.
That's so cool.
And then I just wanted to be an extra I just wanted to do something. And I was, you know, just out of college and I didn't know what to do. My sister goes, why don't you be an extra? I'm like, you can do that. She's like, yeah, why don't you get the drama log and go? She said, go do something free. And if you like it, you're meant to do this. So I went and worked on a science fiction movie, played a cracked out space guy or something. And it worked for like 14 hours for zero pay. And I couldn't wait to do it again.
Wow.
And then eventually I got an agency. So I was working on like 90210 and like Step by Step and Party of Five. And
it's the same ones that Jeannie was just talking about. Same group of three.
Well, it's that age range, right? It was like that. If you were 18 or over 18, but still looked young, you could be in the background of all those shows. That's what they needed.
So oh, yeah. Like Seven and Clueless and so many things. Yeah, it was crazy. And then but it's the best to get on a show and be a regular because to be a regular on like 90210. So I was basically doing like 90210, Party of Five, Boy Meets World. And then I do a random day and I work on like Showgirls for 3 days or something and something random.
That's so cool.
And I got into SAG and Dee Dee, I said, Dee Dee, if I get into SAG, will you keep me on the show? She said, yes. And do you want to hear my SAG story?
Yes.
I got into SAG. So I get a call one day from like my agency and they said, would you be interested in being Johnny Depp's butt double? And I said, and my brain just said, you know, normally you might think about it. I'll think about that. I said, oh yeah, absolutely. And she goes, she said like, try
take
out
my
to
butt,
be.
Please.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you had to audition?
Here's what happened. She goes, I said, so what does that entail exactly? And she said, well, okay, you go. I live in Orange County. And she said, okay, you have to go up to the studio. She goes, I'll call you back in an hour and give you the details. You'll go up there. You'll talk to them for a minute. They'll interview for a moment. You'll pull down your pants and they'll take a picture of your butt, a Polaroid. They'll give it to a producer and they'll probably give it to Johnny Depp. And I said, so, okay, yeah. Yeah, I'll do that, I guess. Oh, and she hangs up the phone. I go to take a shower. I get ready. I'm like, what the hell am I doing? And then she calls back an hour later and she goes, oh, I'm sorry. They just found somebody to do that. And I said, okay. I'm like, oh, bummer. And I was so disappointed. Man, I could have been Johnny Depp's butt. But
in what? How did that get you in SAG?
Hey, well, first of all, do you remember what it was from?
So it's Don Juan DeMarco with Johnny Depp and Marlon Brando.
Okay. So, underrated film. I like that film. Yeah.
Good movie. So 2 days later, I get a call. And so they threw me a bone. They put me on Don Juan DeMarco. So I get up there and I didn't realize that was the movie. And then I was like, hey, that guy looks like Marlon Brando. And they're like, that's because that is Marlon Brando. And I said, oh. And that's Johnny Depp. I'm like, holy shit. So we're in working on scenes and Marlon Brando really like loves like the little guy, the low in the totem pole person. He was like talking to me like, Justin, he's like, he heard my name. He said, "It's getting kind of warm in here, don't you think?" I said, "Yeah, it's getting kind of warm." And they brought an air conditioner just for him. And I got stuck in a stairwell with Marlon Brando. So I'm eating snacks and Marlon Brando and an assistant director come in and they're arguing and they're like, "You say, Marlon, can you work in like an extra 15 minutes?" They're like, "No, sure, I'll work an extra 15 minutes and I'll just come in 15 minutes late tomorrow." And they kept going back and forth. And Marlon Brando was just handling this guy really easily and really calmly. And the guy turned to me and saw me and he got really mad. And he said, "You, like, you need to leave." And Marlon Brando said, "Oh, no, 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 no. The kid stays." And I was like, holy, like, I'm going to tell this story for the rest of my life.
Yep.
Wow.
The kid yep.
stays. So he gave one. So Marlon Brando gave one extra girl. She played a nurse. He goes, "Okay, you have lines," because he was there doing like small talk and they were mentioning, talking about how to get into SAG through. Do you know the voucher system, how you got into SAG
yeah.
back then?
Yeah.
So you needed 3 SAG vouchers and. Or you
we
need
should say for our listeners, SAG is Screen Actors Guild.
Right, right.
Just the union for actors that you have to be a member of in order to, you know, collect your residuals and have your health insurance and all that.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Yeah. And get paid $80 instead of $40.
Exactly.
Back then, as an extra. And he said, "Okay, you want to get in?" We were all like trying hard to get into SAG. We needed our like last voucher. And he goes, "Okay, you have lines. You're going to have lines." He gave this nurse lines. Marlon Brando out of nowhere just gives her lines. So we shoot. I go home. I get a call like 2 days later. "They really need you on set, Don Juan DeMarco. They have to do a reshoot or whatever." I rush up to the set. I get there and I was non-union and I needed one more voucher. And I'd waited a whole year. I didn't get my third voucher. And she signs the voucher, just hands it to me. And she said, "Go home. You're done for the day." I said, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "Welcome to SAG." I said, "What are you?"
Yes.
I said, "This is SAG voucher." She goes, "Yeah, somebody up there likes you. Somebody really big is really looking out for you." I said,
wow.
I'm like, "Are you telling me Marlon Brando one got me into SAG?" She's like, "I'm not saying that. Goodbye."
Wow.
And I walked away.
The kid stays.
Right.
That is
Marlon
so
Brando
cool.
got you into SAG.
I think, you know, who knows? Like, and I heard from a couple other people that that's what they heard, the same thing, because either Marlon or Johnny or somebody,
wow,
they're really cool. And, you know, and I got into SAG, got to stay on Boy Meets World. So I had a regular gig, because normally when you got into SAG as an extra, your jobs just went down because yeah. you could, you know, because the first.
They don't want to pay you the extra money.
Yeah, because yeah. only the first certain number of people on a SAG TV show or movie or extras have to be SAG, and everybody above that number could be non-union.
Yeah.
So in a crowd scene, there's, you know, 40 SAG people and 1,000 non-union people.
So did you stay in the entertainment industry? Do you still work in the entertainment industry now?
I do. Well, I have a regular job. I'm a buyer for a medical company, but for, so I had a daughter. So eventually I had to quit extra work but I worked on about 300 things. And then I started to move into local commercials. And then I started writing and I said, if no one's going to put me in anything, I'll put myself in something. So I started writing and directing indie movies. So I directed a movie called Bloodsucker Jones, which is like a blaxploitation movie. So here's something really interesting. When I first started, when I was cast on the show and I shot my first episode, a couple episodes before that was an episode called Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf?
Oh, yeah, and, the Halloween one, right?
Yeah.
He turns into a werewolf, yeah.
And there's a small theme in it about how he thinks he has to kill Topanga to like become a full-fledged werewolf or something. And I took that kernel of an idea, and that's the plot of the first movie I made, Bloodsucker Jones. But it was about a vampire making becoming a full-fledged vampire. He has to kill his first love.
Wow.
So we made that. We got into festivals. It did pretty good. And then we made a sequel, Bloodsucker Jones versus the Creeping Death.
Where can we find these movies? Where can everyone listening find your stuff?
So they're both on Amazon.
Ooh.
On Blu-ray. Yeah.
Blu-ray. Yes.
And you can get, but you can rent them on Amazon. You can rent them on Amazon Prime.
Great.
They used to be there for free, but now it's only for rental. But we're re-releasing it to put it on a lot of platforms. And then I just finished our biggest movie. It's called Xanadu Hellfire,
And I love these titles.
Thanks, man. And I wrote it for my daughter. Like, I was a single dad, so I wanted to write a movie about a single dad. So it's about a 9-year-old girl who brings her comic book character from the future to the present just to hang out, and her evil sister follows and all hell breaks loose.
That's so cool.
I want to watch that.
And okay, well, here's another little tidbit. I was going to make it Union, and I wanted to cast you in it as the single dad. And then I didn't have enough money to make it Union. So I never ended up contacting you. But that my plan was always to get all of you in a movie one day. Aww. Somehow.
That would really be fun. Cool.
Maybe we could do Bloodsucker Jones 3. Boy meets Bloodsucker.
Totally. I have many scripts, though, but that's still my dream. And I hope to do that one day for sure.
That's
Justin,
awesome.
Thank you so much for being here with us and telling us about your life now and your experiences as a background actor. It really means a lot to us. So,
thanks so much. This podcast is incredible. Like hearing hearing your feelings about how you thought you were going to be fired and. And then I thought I didn't get invited back, and then I found out the next week was like an off day, an off week, and I was
an
like,
Well, thank you again, Justin. This has been a real pleasure. So thank you for being here with us. We wish you the best,
and we'll see you again.
We can't wait to reconnect on our movie set.
I'm for checking out that those movies. I'm checking those out.
Please.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Bye, guys.
Bye,
Justin.
Now, let's take a moment and listen to a story of how understanding your health begins with understanding what your genetics say about you.
For Derek, 23andMe helped him connect with his brothers, an experience that changed his life.
There were so many questions to ask, so many dots to connect. There were 7 other brothers and sisters in the house in which I was raised, and I was the only person in the family that wore glasses, so I was always, okay, well, that's a thing. Well, all of my paternal folks wear glasses. And I went, oh, okay. So now I've got folks that actually look like me and look like me in the way that that I identify myself. I was a college baseball player, come from a family of baseball players. It's eye-opening to me that the thing that I love so much, I shared with this group of people that I didn't know.
Through 23andMe, Derek discovered important insights about his family health history.
They were lactose intolerant. I'd always carried that. And in my house, my mother always had milk, and I was never team milk. And to find out that from my father's side, they were all lactose intolerant, and there it was right in front of me. From a health standpoint, we communicate back and forth over some of the small things, sleep issues and such. But the shared information, shared IQ always makes us smarter. The Garner family has made me smarter about how I live my life.
The connections Derek made through 23andMe changed his outlook on life.
A lot of it is just clarity. There's one thing to think that you are a certain thing and have some basic understanding of that thing, but then to find out and know who you are and where these things come from and that they're passed along and that they're identical in spaces, the mental stress and wear and tear that's removed from my life, it's exponential.
This story was brought to you by 23andMe. Learn more about your ancestry and get personalized genetic insights into your health. Get started today at 23andme.com.
Jason, how are you doing?
I'm well. It's
good.
Great to see you guys.
Nice to see you.
Too.
You were a background actor in season 3.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about some of the episodes you were a part of and like what is your favorite memory from being a background actor on Boy Meets World?
The only episode I really remember vividly was there was a scene in the, I want to say it was in the lunchroom or maybe in that that hangout place that you guys always went to.
Chubby's.
Yeah. And Corey was being bullied by this guy, and they brought in this like really, really, really tall, good looking, like Nordic looking kid. And there was a big height differential, which was very funny, but they made it even funnier because they had this guy who was already quite a bit taller than Ben stand on an apple box.
And, I just
remember like watching that as like a wannabe actor, you know, trying to start my career, you know, just watching the decisions being made on the fly. And I thought that was so cool.
So how old were you? Were you 18 playing younger?
I was 23.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But if you were in Chubbies, you could really be any age.
Yeah. 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 Because you guys were in high school by the time I was on the show. I don't think I could be middle school age.
Wow. How did you get started?
Yeah.
Doing background work?
Or just in the business and, you know, in general?
I had just moved to LA when I was doing extra work. So I moved here in 1995. So I was on the show 95, 96. So I didn't know anyone here. I didn't have any friends. And I had heard that, if you could go do background work and go sign up. And, you know, so that's how I paid my bills, sort of, the first year living here.
Where'd you move from?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, outside of Allentown, you know, the Billy Joel song. That's
of course. I know Pennsylvania well. Both my brothers went to school in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So that's very cool. Now, what made you come out here? What made you come out to Los Angeles? Was it just the bug to be an actor?
It was a little bit of that. It was, there was a really, really big snowstorm. So I used to work in radio, and the station I worked at back in Allentown, we were known for the school closings. Like back before the internet, they would do the school closing.
Oh, those were the best.
Snowstorm on the radio. So I worked overnight. So I would stay overnight and do my shift. And then in the morning, I would have to stay and help the morning show take the calls. So I remember driving home after being completely sleep deprived in this blizzard. And I got home and I'm like, why am I here? Why? This is terrible.
Okay, so first of all, for Jason, just very quickly, for Ryder and Danielle, the two West Coast kids. So when we were East Coast kids growing up, you would wake up on a day when there was snow on the ground and you would put on the radio and you would wait for your school to be called. And then they tell you if you were delayed or if you had a snow day and it was canceled. It was the best. So I don't think you had that out here on the West Coast, did you?
No,
well, I mean, in the mountain towns, but not.
But you would sit there and you'd wait, and it would say like, and the Avon Public Schools are, and the, if it was a good DJ, they would pause because it would either be are open and running normally, and you go or they
in
go,
which case the horse and buggy couldn't get you to school, right?
Because exactly, the roads were blocked. We had slaves too, and we weren't primitive. but that's what it was. It would be, and they'd be like, Avon Public Schools are closed today. And you'd be like, yes, not thinking that, of course, then you had to do an extra day in the summer because they just tack it on to the end of the year.
Because they just tack it on, right.
Yeah. But it was, you just have a day off where you'd go sledding or you would play snowball. It was the greatest thing in the world. So it's something that is just, Jason and I know what this is, but if you did not grow up in that, you didn't know. So yeah, it was totally cool.
Jason, were you a background actor on any other shows?
Yeah, I was on Friends a couple of times.
Ooh, cool.
And actually, like, you could see me really well because it was like the season 2 premiere, like when the show was just like absolutely white hot at the top of the zeitgeist. And it's like Ross gets off the plane with Julie.
Yep.
And Rachel does this like pratfall in the airport over the furniture. I'm right there dressed as a limo driver.
How fun.
I have to watch that again.
And I got my SAG card on Executive Decision, which was a movie with Steven Seagal and Kurt Russell,
Steven Seagal, John Leguizamo, everybody jumping on the airplane. Yes, B.D. Wong.
Trump was in it?
Yes, it was a great movie. Yes, yeah. It was a great movie.
I love the title because that sounds exactly like a Steven Seagal movie. There's like a, you know, Hard to Kill, Executive Decision.
But the thing
know,
that was like cool about like, Executive Decision, and not, it's a spoiler alert, but it's from 1996. Seagal's only in like the first 15 minutes and then it's killed off. It's a straight up Kurt Russell. It's a great movie. It's a great movie.
Now,
I think we should explain to everybody why having your SAG card is so important, because it's now come up a couple of times. And so, as Ryder mentioned, SAG stands for the Screen Actors Guild. And it's joining SAG is a little bit of a catch-22.
Exactly.
Because you cannot have a speaking role in television or a movie until you are a member of SAG. But you can't become a member of SAG until you have a speaking part. So,
well, you can do one, right? You can do one, and then you get something that's called
you
Taft
get a voucher.
Heart Lead.
You get your voucher.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
So being Taft Heart Lead in means, I think, actually you get the option to join right away. You can get. But there are other ways to earn your SAG. Like you get in like 3 SAG vouchers, right?
In
is that
a
what
year,
it used to be?
Is there a time limit? Can you just get 3? Okay.
Just three. Yeah. But when I was doing it, because SAG and AFTRA were separate unions at the time. So to join SAG, you would get three vouchers doing background work, because they would have a certain allotment of union background actors they would have to use, and then a certain allotment of non-union. So if you worked on the show as a non-union, you wouldn't get a voucher. But sometimes there was an extra slot that would open up. Somebody didn't show up and you would get bumped up and you would get to use the union voucher for the day.
Wow. Wow, that's so cool. Yeah, I mean,
so I got into SAG because I was a member of Equity, which is a theater union. And I don't know if this is still the case, but back then, if you were a member of Equity, after you were in Equity for a year, you were eligible for SAG.
I think
In Les Miserables as a kid, I then became eligible for SAG. So I never had to do like the voucher or Taft-Hartley thing. I just,
I think I did the same thing. I think after being in the Hartford stage, I was in Equity and then I was able to join SAG. What year did you join SAG, Ryder? Do you remember?
1990.
Danielle? Yeah.
91.
Jason?
95.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. Most actors, because it's a very big deal as an actor to get your SAG card.
It still says when you join too on their card, right?
Yeah. It's so cool that but you don't need to look at it. Most actors, you ask them like, when did you join SAG? And they can instantly, I was 89. Like I'll always remember 1989.
But now I remember there used to be a Screen Extras Guild. Remember I think it wasn't until the mid 90s that the two guilds merged. It used to be that if you were an extra, you were in a separate union, and then it became all under SAG. And that was a big deal because that's how then you could become a SAG member by doing background work. Before that, you couldn't even do it by doing background work.
Yeah, I do remember that. Background work didn't used to count.
Nope. Hmm.
And once you're a member of SAG, you get health insurance as well. So there's again, it's a double-edged sword. Joining SAG means you pay dues.
Yep.
So you have to pay kind of a lot of money every year in order to stay in SAG. You also have to earn a certain amount of money every year to stay in SAG. And there are like two levels of earnings. Whether you're going to be in plan A or plan B. And plan A is the better insurance, but it means you also have to be earning a significantly larger portion of money a year.
That's gone now. I don't think there's plan A, plan B anymore. I think there's just one plan that's not as good as plan A and not as bad as plan B. I think they kind of went in the middle and now it's one. And some people were happy with that. And some people were, there's been a lot of changes at SAG and some of them haven't been great, but.
So Jason, do you still work in the entertainment industry and what are you doing now?
Now I'm managing a tour company called Bikes and Hikes LA. But I am still in entertainment a little bit. I host my own podcast called A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we review and kind of pick apart Lifetime and Hallmark movies, and they are so different from each other.
That's so cool.
Because they're either very like earnest and wholesome, or they are just murder and sex 24/7.
I love that.
I'm trying to get more into hiking. Is your company, is it like cool hikes around LA? Is that what you guys do?
We cater to tourists from around the world. So we do biking tours. We do 3-daily bike tours of LA. One's a 32-mile one that goes out to the beach and back.
Wow.
Then we do shorter ones in Beverly Hills and Hollywood. And then we do hikes to the front and back of the Hollywood sign.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I might have to join you for the one to the Hollywood sign. I've never, all the years I've been here, 30 some odd years, I've never done a hike to the Hollywood sign, and it's something that I really want to do.
Take you. Yeah, come on.
All right, let's do it. I've never done it either.
Oh, we should all go. We should totally do that. That would be really cool.
Does it ever come up in your life that you were a background actor on Boy Meets World?
Yeah, because I have a lot of friends that watched it growing up, and sometimes it'll come up in conversation. I'll tell them and they're like, what? And now, so I live in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
And just, I'm sure people have heard in the news that Ben is running for city council in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
I've lived in WeHo for 15 years. I've never once seen him out. I have run into Ben 10 times in the past month. 10.
That's so funny. Have you talked to him when you've seen him out? Have you?
Yeah, the first time I saw him, it was right after I found out I was going to be on with you guys. And so I just went up to him. I was like, Ben, hi, I'm a resident here at WeHo, but also is on Boy Meets World. And we had like a 20-minute conversation.
Oh, that's so
cool. Amazing. So he knew you were a background actor.
He didn't remember me, but now when he sees me, he recognizes me and like makes a point of saying hi.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. Well, Jason, thank you so much for being here with us. It was really fun to catch up with you. And I think we'll take you up on that offer to go on a hike to the Hollywood sign because none of us have ever done it.
That sounds right. And what was the name of the podcast one more time?
A Lifetime of Hallmark.
I gotta check that out.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yes. Well, right, thank you for you being guys. Here with us.
Yeah. Good to see
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Jason.
All right. Bye.
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 I've wanted to do that Hollywood hike because it's just such an iconic thing going and actually seeing the Hollywood sign, which yeah. you see it, you drive by and you just get, everybody gets it wherever they live. They get so complacent about where they live that they don't do the things that
you're kind supposed
of,
to do.
Yeah, yeah. That show them the joy of the town or city that they live in. So
well, I've heard
like
it's a nightmare. Really like the roads up to the Hollywood sign are like so congested. Like the local residents hate it so much because everyone
and there's probably
up
no
there.
Place to park and it's awful.
Exactly.
And
they've tried to make it hard. Yeah. I mean, because people live up there, you know,
yeah,
but
that's,
yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't. It's like, that's how I knew I was at a rider house. It was like, well, I can't, the streets are turning everywhere and I can't actually park. So, hey, I must be in your rider's house. It's yes. just a scant 13 miles from where I had to park my car. That's going to be nice
hey,
and
man,
simple.
Hey, man, I like to be around trees. I like to be, so that means being a little off the beaten path.
That is true.
Now, my place now is right off a big road.
No. Your uh-huh. place now has decent parking, but the other ones, it was like, are you kidding? I'd have to call you and be like, I'm acclimatizing for the night. I'll see you in the morning.
Oh my gosh. That is, I once my car got stuck hanging off a cliff outside of Ryder's house.
Oh, that's right.
That night.
That's right. We had to call
literally.
A tow truck.
We had to call a tow truck.
Because I remember backing, just sitting on the curb.
I was backing oh God, down was and it was really curved. It was a terrible, terrible thing. And
thank
I
you.
Couldn't okay. see and it was dark and I turned my wheel and I like went, literally my car was dangling off
dangling.
The edge of the
yeah,
cliff.
That's right. I forgot. Did it rip off the front of your car too?
When we, no, we nothing pulled, nothing okay. like that happened. I just couldn't get the wheel back up onto the thing. So the tow truck just had to basically bring my car down yeah. off of the
Eventually,
cliff.
Eventually we all just started
cliff.
Driving tow trucks to Ryder's house. It was just easier that way.
A lot safer.
I forgot about that. Oh my God. That was one of our like Boy Meets World dinners that we had. Remember we used to have
yes,
dinners?
Yes, it was
like,
our yeah, Boy yeah. Meets, one of our Boy Meets World dinners.
Yep.
That's fun.
It was really fun. Well, yeah. I'd love to introduce our next guest. Her name is Jessica Bibbo. I hope I said that right, Jessica. She was one of the background actors that Jeannie, our very first guest, Jeannie had friends that she would bring in as being other background actors. And Jessica was one of those people.
Hey.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how are you?
Jessica was one of the background actors in the famous Danielle Topanga cutting her hair episode.
Yep.
Hair Oof. Today, gone tomorrow. And so you're actually in the bathroom scene with me, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was my first time ever being on the show, too. Oh
that was God. Your first episode.
Yes. And I remember they picked me, I think, because I have obviously big hair.
Yes, big curly like hair.
Yeah.
So yeah, so the lady picked me, and I was like, "Oh my gosh! Like I've never even been here before, done this." So my friend Jeannie was like, ah. "She's like, you got featured, whatever."
She's so like, "I've funny. Been here She's for like, 3 years, whatever."
That's so funny.
And so what happened? So was it Dee Dee DeStefano who picked you out?
It was, yeah.
Okay.
And she picked me and another extra called Wendy.
Okay.
And it was the three of us. And
you,
I met
me
you
and Wendy,
in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I think it was such a fun experience. I was so nervous the first day. And it was just so much fun to be in that episode, especially because it was such a big hit.
Yeah, and you're so featured in the bathroom at the sink right there. So what do you really like remember about that day?
I remember you actually. I was so nervous for you because you had to cut your hair on camera and I was like, oh my gosh, this is like I was so nervous for you. And like you had to get it in the
yeah. one yeah. chance.
So I really remember that and I just remember thinking like being nervous for you. And just, I thought it was just so fun because it was really my first time on a set. And so the whole thing, like it looked smaller than I thought it would, you know,
yeah, that's
how
what everyone
it is
always
TV.
Says that's
it's
so
true.
Funny.
It's totally true.
It is true. I guess it's just something about when you actually see the limits of the set, you're like, oh, well that's all it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, you it's know. Shorter. And like, I don't yeah. know, like I had like this perception of what it would be and then it was different. So I remember that. And then I also remember I got to get my makeup done. So that was super exciting. I'm like, because I was featured. I'm like, ooh, I get to get my makeup. I'm like, you don't bother with the hair. No one's going to know how to do it. So I just got I did get my makeup done.
So the other actor that was featured with you, Wendy, had you ever met her before? Did you know her at all?
I didn't, but my best friend, Jeannie, was friends with her. They work together every week. And so we connected immediately. We're still friends to this day.
And Jeannie is too, right? Because I think Jeannie was talking about Wendy.
Yeah, we're all still friends. So and I, you know, I met her that one time. I live in Orange County too, so I don't see her, but we're still connected just because of that one day. And we still like reminisce about it. She was like so excited to be chosen too. So
wow.
Are you Mission Viejo as well?
I am, yeah.
But you are also not a Diablo. You are a Cougar.
Exactly.
Okay.
How did you know?
That's because we talked to Jeannie, and my wife is a Diablo. So
oh my gosh. Kids are going to be Diablos.
Okay, there you go. All right, good.
Yeah, and my uncle and my mom and like but there's a lot of Mission Viejo history in this.
There is. But we were my wife lived off of Spartan, right across from Antonucci's. Is Antonucci's still there? Like the greatest Italian restaurant? Yeah,
it's totally there. I used to go there growing up with my grandfather. I'm Italian, so that was like his spot. So
yeah,
Antonucci's
is great.
Choice.
Yeah. Sorry, little Mission Viejo. It's for my wife. Shout out to my wife.
Oh, yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Had you heard of Boy Meets World or seen Boy Meets World before you came on the show?
I had heard of it. You know, I was older at the time, so I don't think I had seen it. I had seen it maybe on TV, but the funny thing is because I was in college, the day after the show aired and I went to school, everybody came up to me. I'm not kidding you. I saw you on TV. Oh my gosh. And I was like, oh wow. Like so many college age people were watching the show, boys, girls, everything. So I was like, that's so cool. Yeah. I mean, of course I knew about the show. It was such a big hit.
That's cool.
Do you ever tell people about it now? Do you have children? Do they know about your past as a background actor?
My kids like think it's so fun because I show them the picture of the three of us mm-hmm. at the bathroom. They think it's very cool. They know I'm doing this. They can't wait to hear about it. And yeah, I have so many friends who are like, I can't believe that was you. They knew the episode. They're like, so they think it's amazing that I was not the actor, but like, they think it's like the coolest thing. So yeah, it still comes up. It's so funny.
Now you remember being nervous for me. Do you remember, did I seem nervous?
I think you, if anything, you were very focused and concentrated and maybe a little stressed.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That was my feeling.
It was an incredibly stressful day. I remember it.
Me too.
It was like
I remember
everybody
it and I
on
in the
set
scene.
Was on edge. We were all like, it was not a fun experience.
No.
I have to say, like, I do not have fond memories of it. I have like, I get like a knot in my stomach when I think about that day on set.
Yeah.
Mm. I think people also thought you were going to cut your hair short. I thought you were going to cut your hair shorter than you did. So when you actually cut it, I was like, oh, okay, good. Like it was like more of like a relaxed moment for me. Cause I thought you were going to go like up, like bobbing it up. So seeing that you lifted it up and cut it, I was like, okay. I was like, that took some of the stress
away.
No,
I was given very specific instructions about where I was allowed to cut. And, you know, it was a very stressful day. And Michael came out and said, you know, okay, show me where. And I was like right here. And he was like, lower. And I was like, nah, because I wanted to go a little shorter. And Michael really had a spot that he really wanted me to do it.
Now, I have a question. Has anybody asked you, because you're holding the scissors, at the end of the day, you get to decide where the cut happens.
Yeah.
Did you ever think, even for a moment, about cutting it in a different spot than people told you to?
Well, not really, mostly because I didn't want to screw anything up for the one take we have on camera. And it was like things were very set. You know, we only had a certain amount of time we could rehearse it. And then you get the one take with the scissors. But it also was a little like the way she cut it, she meaning me, the way I cut my hair, I just swung my hair around and then grabbed it and cut. It wasn't like, so I knew there was a margin of error that was kind of out of my control, but I definitely didn't want to do anything that was going to make anybody mad at me. And I also knew that I needed to cut it in a place where there was still room for then when I got a real haircut, where that could still, it was still going to get shorter from that wherever I cut it, because I was going to cut a blunt cut and then, you know, Lori was going to put layers in it and stuff. So I knew it was going to end up being a little shorter than wherever I cut it. So I also didn't want my hair to be too short. But yeah, that was a really stressful. Remember the rehearsing and blocking of that scene where then Jeff McCracken would yell, stop! Before we got to it, because they wanted to make sure we got the scene all the way up until the point of the cut perfectly. And yeah, I remember being like, You can say stop in a normal voice. I'm not going to cut
Jeff. Because Jeff, as an actor, Jeff took on all... Do you remember watching his face when he directed?
Oh, his face at the monitors is one of the funniest things.
All of the emotions of the actor on the scene. He was on the set with us, which is what made him such a great actor.
I totally find myself doing that. Do you do that, Danielle, when you're watching the monitor? I totally do it too. I'm constant. I don't think I'm as exaggerated as Jeff, but I am definitely like putting myself through whatever the actor's doing when I'm directing. It's so...
That's what makes you
good. Even with hair in the face. Like I was watching, I just directed a movie. I was telling you about it. And on camera, there was a piece of hair in one of the actors' faces. And I was like,
and you just kept.
I was like, and it was like, okay, that's not going to work. I think we all got that from Jeff.
Jess, are you still in the business?
So I did like a couple more things after your show, very little things. And then I ended up going into the skincare business. So I became an esthetician. I have my own skincare line now called Simply Jess Skincare. And that's what I've been doing literally since like I was 20.
No way.
Simply Jess. So cool.
What's your website?
Simply Jess Skincare. Yeah.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, it's just simplyjessskincare.com. It's all natural. It's out of Orange County, so it's doing really well. It's amazing. I should send you some.
Yes, please.
Yes.
We will all take it.
Awesome. You guys, it's amazing. It works really well.
I need it because we were talking about how I wash my entire body with Head and Shoulders. Was that in this episode? I can't even remember at this point.
Yeah.
So I need some sort of skincare regime because the one I have now apparently isn't good.
It's simple. Like men can do it. It's great. It's easy.
Okay, perfect. I don't have dandruff on my face, do I, Ryder?
No, you don't. But do I?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, Jessica, it was really nice to reconnect with you. Thank you for being here with us. I'm so glad you're in that iconic scene and set with me. We have this adorable picture of the three of us that I'll put on and put on the Instagram. And thank you for being here with us.
I love it. It was so good talking to you guys. Thank you for having me.
You as well. Thanks for joining us.
Of course.
It's so fun.
Oh, she's so sweet.
So sweet.
And her kids are going to be Diablos.
And so many background actors from Orange County.
From Orange County. Which
makes perfect sense, I guess.
But for people who aren't out here, that can be a hike.
Yes, I mean, I'm from Orange County.
Yeah, it's at the very, with great traffic, it's still at least an hour.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now with traffic, without traffic, it's an hour and 20 minutes. With traffic, you're looking at 2 hours plus.
So it begs the question, why not kids in Los Angeles? Like, why didn't teenagers in Los Angeles become background?
Maybe because they kind of grew up around the industry.
And they just took it for granted
about it. And
yeah. And whereas like in the Orange County, you'd be like, oh, it's right over there. And I can get these jobs. That's interesting. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. But it is. They all seem, the other thing that's very interesting so far, and we didn't ask Jessica. Well, she kind of told us this, but it seem like you kind of were on the circuit where you did 90210. You did Step by Step. You did Boy Meets World. You did Party of Five. There are certain shows that you did everywhere. Interesting.
Well, our next guest is a woman named Melody Marrero, and she was a background actor in seasons 2 and 3, but then she was featured in season 2, episode 12, called Turnaround, and she was given a name, Jacqueline. So I can't wait to hear about how that happened and who Jacqueline was. Hi!
Oh my gosh, it is so cool to see you guys. It's been almost 30 years?
Yeah, we're just saying 20 plus. That's
let's say 20 plus. It's been 8 years. That's amazing.
It's just been a few years. Whatever.
It's so good to see you. So you were a background actor in seasons 2 and 3, but then you were featured as Jacqueline in an episode. So how did that come about?
Oh my gosh. I was so over the moon that day. They said, okay, we've seen you around set a lot. You were I was the waitress at Chubby's a few times. And I don't know, it was just happenstance. I was just trying not to stick out too much. But one of the producers came up, I forget her name, one of the assistant producers said, we have a spot for you. Just come with us now. And so I was like, okay, whatever you say. And then had me walk with Eric. So.
Oh, really? Was it the two of us together? Is that why I'm looking at the picture? I have a photo of us together. It's so great. So were Eric and Jacqueline dating at the time?
We were totally a thing.
Nice.
Did you write a whole backstory? Is there a history there?
Who broke up with who? Whole script, an idea about us dating for the future. Yeah, they didn't exactly go with that, but just kind of come around. the corner, the lockers, and Eric, you walk up and say, "Hey, Jacqueline, I was just headed that way," or something along those lines. And I was so geeked out. It was so much fun.
Oh, man. Awesome. That's so cool.
I'm surprised. That must have been the episode that they had Eric girl crazy.
That one episode.
That one episode, yeah. No, I'm kidding. That was Eric's thing. It was so great that we got a chance to do that. That's very cool.
How did you become a background actor?
In college, one of my friends was telling me about, she was going to a movie set the next day. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm an extra. And I was like, okay, I have no idea what that means. And she told me about what she was doing. And it was Central Casting at the time. And I was a young mom in college and I had a mouth to feed. And I'm like, this will be a cool way to make a little bit of extra cash. So I did it and did a number of things. Boy Meets World happened to be absolutely my favorite, obviously. But I did it for three seasons almost.
Wow.
And
wow.
I did an episode of Friends and ER and a lot of things. But at first it was just a way to make some cash. And then I thought maybe I'll get bit by the acting bug. And that didn't exactly pan out that way. But yeah, that's how I kind of stumbled upon this.
So do you still work in the entertainment industry? What do you do now?
No, I'm in human resources.
Nice.
HR.
I went from background acting to human resources. So yeah, I'm an HR person.
For what company?
For Toyota.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
It's a great gig. I'm about to celebrate 23 years with Toyota. Wow. So, but pretty much my very last extra gig was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
And I was hired by Toyota the next week. So I was like, cool. I guess I have a career. The acting thing is just not going to happen.
Yeah. Wow.
From Buffy the Vampire Slayer to the career you're going to do for the rest of your life. That's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I like
that. When people are like, what was your last job? I was like, a vampire slayer. What did you do?
I'm looking at a picture you sent us of me and you and another one of our background actors.
It's great.
What am I doing? What on earth is this pose?
It's, you're the only one who didn't realize that you weren't in a chorus line at the time.
Danielle, I don't know, but it was adorable and I loved it. And clearly I've treasured it for 20 something years. So
I'm so glad.
You guys are in like matching denim too.
Yes.
Yeah. I completely recognize you, by the way. I totally recognize you.
You do not.
I swear to God, from the second I saw the picture, I completely recognize you because you did multiple episodes. And again, we were around the same age, so we were always kind of together. It wasn't like you were in the classroom scenes as a kid.
Yeah.
It was always kind of around Eric. So I recognized you from the second I saw the photo.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, that just warms my heart. I wasn't sure if you guys would remember, but
looking at the picture, I'm like, oh yeah, I totally remember you and being in the hallways with you at the lockers and all of that stuff.
Yeah. That picture, I think they made me change my shirt though, right after. They're like, yeah, you both can't wear denim.
Oh, see? They're like, Danielle's wearing denim. Take it off.
That's pretty much what would happen. I mean, I'd walk in with certain outfits and they'd be like, yeah, honey, that's not going to work. So,
that's so funny.
Now, were you in Los Angeles at the time you were doing the show?
Yeah. Yes. I lived near Pasadena. So just a quick ride on the 405 every day. Yeah. I was local.
Now, I'm going to ask you, but I have a feeling your favorite scene was probably when you were featured as Jacqueline with Will. But do you have any like other real specific memory of something that just really stands out from your time on Boy Meets World?
I do. That is definitely my favorite. But there was a flashback to the 50s.
Oh, you were in that episode too.
Yep.
I was in that one. I had a poodle skirt, the ponytail, the scarf. and we were at Chubby's in the scene that I was in. So that was one of my other favorites, was just because I got to go through full like hair and makeup and wardrobe and stuff. So yeah, that was a fun
episode. Wearing a costume.
Yeah. Totally. So did they provide the costume for you that time? You didn't have to bring your own. That's so cool.
Yeah, awesome. It was cool. I was looking for it and I forgot the title of the episode, but yeah, that was a good one.
Oh man, I can't wait till we get to those. I don't know. We did so many of the flashbacks to different times.
But the 50s one was the Was that the toaster one? Isn't there like
I think that was the 40s. I don't remember.
We can't remember.
We did the 40s. No, the 40s was the cat. that took us from the cat from Sabrina took us back in time for the 40s episode.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was the toaster.
There's something with the toaster back to the 50s. That's when we're like most of the cast of Happy Days was on the episode, right?
And well, I'm like Sean Zarelli or whatever.
Yes, we're going to get a lot of emails telling us exactly how it happened.
We should stop talking about it now.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
Well, Melody, we thank you so much for being here with us, and thank you for being a part of Boy Meets World with us all that 20 plus years ago. Really means a lot to us.
Yeah, just a few years ago. Oh, thank you so much for including me. This was so much fun. I was so stoked when I got the email. So it's just so great to see you all again.
It's so good to see you too. Amazing.
Is there anywhere if people want to find you? Are you on social media or anything?
Yeah. Melody MM143 is my handle, I'm pretty sure. So. I don't message myself a lot, so I forget.
That's so funny. Awesome. Oh, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Melody.
So
it was great to see you.
Great to see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Man, everybody is so nice.
I totally remember, especially when I saw the picture, like at first I was kind of, and then I completely remember because again, we had the extras were kind of, extras, I don't like that connotation. The background actors were compartmentalized. So it's, you all had your kind of classroom extras, I said it again, which I was never really a part of. So, you know, like I got to meet Dusty and everybody else. But then as we grew up and Eric was more involved with other people around as opposed to just being in the school, there was a group of background actors where I was with a lot. And Justin and Melody, those are all the kind of the same people that were around there, which is really neat.
So I sort of buried this lead, but it actually didn't occur to me until we were already recording this episode. But one of my best friends, one of my closest friends, he's coming over to my house for dinner tonight. He was in my wedding.
I was wondering when you're going to bring this up.
He was in my wedding party, actually. He was one of my groomsmen at my wedding. His name is Chris Levitas, and he's a director, a writer-director. And I met him because I acted in a movie that he directed in my 20s, and that's how we became friends. But he was an extra on Boy Meets World.
No way.
One of his first jobs as a kid. And it was when he was underage, I think, because he was a kid actor. So I remember seeing his headshot. But I talked to him about it because I remember when we first talked about doing this episode, I was like, oh, well, you should come on. He actually doesn't have many memories. I think he only did one or two episodes. But it was one of the first things he said to me when we started working together. He's like, I was actually on your show back in the day. So I've always been curious if I can see him in an episode. So as we do our it would probably be the second or third season. So I have to keep an eye out for him somewhere in the background of one of our episodes.
Another one of our background actors was Cal Penn.
Really?
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
In what?
He was in like a sports scene.
Well, let's get him on our show. Let's talk about it.
Do you think so we're watching a lot of Alone right now. Do you think the chances are that Dusty maybe lives a life off the grid, which is why
he's in Alaska
he knows nothing about the podcast?
Communing with the bears?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we just, Dusty has no idea because he's like skinning something right now or, you know, making a fire with sticks or peat or something like that.
I don't know. I'm still determined. I'm still determined.
We're holding out hope. Hashtag searching out hope for Dusty.
For Dusty. So, well, this was really a great way to wrap up our 23andMe episode. Thank you so much to 23andMe for helping us get to know our backgrounds, both personally and from Boy Meets World. It was really a really smart way of bringing this all together. And like I said, I am really excited now that I have a couple of wellness and health, some information about myself that now I can take to my doctor and can hopefully change the decisions I make for my future, knowing a few things. And so I encourage you to take the 23andMe test as well and get to know your background and get to know a little bit more about your health and how you can help take care of yourself to prevent issues from coming up in the future.
I also always figured I was a superhero, but to actually be told by 23andMe that I am, it really changed the whole ball game for me. It really did. It's pretty great to get that confirmation finally. So,
well, you can get your superhero confirmation at 23andme.com. Thank you for joining us for Pod Meets World. I don't know why I was doing our exit like I was going to say my name again. Like, thank you for joining us. I'm Danielle Fishel. You just listened to a whole episode with me. Like,
you've been doing great, Shannon. We know who you are.
You can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show, and you can also send us an email at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And as always, we have merch.
Merch.
Oh, right, that was so subtle and like that? Calm. I you love like it. Yeah.
March, baby. Oh. Sorry.
Podmeetsworldshow.com. Thank you guys for being with us. We will see you next time. Will?
We love you all. Pod dismissed. Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbach. Producer, Jackie Rodriguez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon, and you can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
And that's it on another dope show. Did this episode inspire you to take a closer look at your health history, your genetic makeup? Who knew DNA could reveal so much about our past while also holding the keys to certain health insights that may impact our future? I continue to be inspired by these stories, and I hope you do as well. Catch you next time. Listen to Spit, an original podcast from iHeartRadio and 23andMe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.